Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
1, 2, 3. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Schmozone podcast. This is episode number 66. Today's episode is brought to you by Fusion CBD Products. I love sipping on their Fusion CBD sports water. It's like 110 degrees out in Vegas. This is going to refresh, refuel. Can't wait to be sipping on this throughout the podcast. They have their CBD gummies. They have their tincture. They have their instant freeze. All of your CBD needs. Check them out at FusionCBDProducts.com and use the promo code SCHMO to get 20% off. Now, I'm Dave Schmolenson, a.k.a. The Schmo. My co-host is...
Helen E. with Helen E. Sports.
And today's guest is an OG in the fight game. He's the former Strikeforce middleweight champion. He's beaten a lot of legends in the MMA game. He's the one and only Jake Shields.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How are you? We just saw you in Phoenix over the weekend, or actually Glendale, yeah, for UFC 263. What'd you think of that card?
First off, yeah, it was a great weekend, long weekend, a fun place, way too much partying, so I'm recovering, but the card was great. I mean, having the fans back, it's just the energy in there was unreal. Good fights, obviously. My good friend Nate Diaz, the crowd went nuts. You know, he's turned into a real megastar, probably the one of the biggest, if not the biggest, superstar in the sport right now. So it's crazy seeing him escalate like that.
He had the loudest cheers from the crowd
by far. Yeah.
I mean, Brandon Moreno probably right up there, yeah, with him, but Nate Diaz, he was the crowd favorite all week.
Yeah, I mean, from the press conference, the weigh-ins, it was crazy seeing the crowd just go completely nuts for him. And like I said, he's been my friend since like 16, so watch him just blow up to be that famous. A little strange, but it's pretty cool.
And even afterwards, I shot the video of him walking up to you and shaking your hand.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I've known him since he's like 16. He's been my training partner from the beginning, like a little brother to me. So it's fortunately lost a close fight, but still, I don't think it really hurt his stock. It was such a good fight, and he almost pulled it out at the end. So,
what do you say to you in those moments?
I mean, he just said what's up on the way out. You know, I talked to him after the fight. He's obviously bummed he's losing, but I don't think he's that bummed. He's still making money. He had a really close fight with the number one contender at the weight above him. Because it's not, he moved up a weight to fight the top guy and still had a close fight, almost knocked him out at the end.
Yeah, I was joking with you about that before. If only there were 7 rounds, or if you go, Pride rules, you got 1 round unlimited time, yep, until someone stops.
Yeah, I mean, Nate would flourish in that because he doesn't get finished and he always goes for the finish. And unfortunately, the time ran out, a little bit short.
Yeah, but it was super exciting. And so many people, well, even him afterwards, he was saying that he wants to return within 3 to 4 months. Who's someone you would like to see him fight next?
If I was matchmaking, I'd probably have him fight the loser of Conor versus Poirier. That would be another mega fight. I mean, obviously, if Conor loses the trilogy, that makes sense. But if Poirier lost, I think that would be a great fight as well.
I think he's in a position where he could just fight whoever he wants to fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, pretty much his star power. That's kind of how Conor has been. He could fight whoever he wants. But I think Nate's at that level now, too, where he can almost pick his fights. I mean, people are going to tune in when he fights. So it's... it's almost up to him when and who he fights.
But do you think his performance, especially at the end, he definitely put Leon Edwards, yeah, on skates at the end of that fight. Do you think it hurt Leon Edwards' stock as being that number one contender to fight Usman next for the welterweight strap?
Oh, definitely not. What is he riding, like a 10-fight win streak? He's beating top guys, and I think, he beat Nate. Nate's a top guy, and he beat him. It was a close fight, but, I mean, he stayed He doesn't really break. He doesn't break form. He's really, really disciplined. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He's a hard guy to fight. I think him and Usman would be a great fight. I think he should definitely be in line next.
It's funny though, because Dana is adamant that Colby Covington's next.
Yeah, I mean, because Kobe did have a great fight with Usman. I don't know if that fight signed or not. If it was up to me, I think Leon kind of deserves it. But I can see an argument for Kobe too, because he's, you know, he was on a great streak. They had a really good first fight. But at this point, with Leon going 10-fight win streak, I think he should be next in line.
Well, did Dana mention? Well, I think someone asked him if he should fight Jorge because the three-piece Minnesota thing.
Oh, that's definitely a fight, right? That's got to be made at some point because of the history with Leon and Jorge.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that fight makes sense, too. It's a good fight for, good like Edwards. He should get paid for it because it's a big money fight. So I think it makes sense from that perspective. They have bad blood. It's, it's huge hype. So I think they can do that as well. But I think, in my opinion, he deserves a title shot.
And then if you got a big fight, too, on that Conor card with Wonderboy and Gilbert Burns, I'm sure the winner of that fight, too, is going to make a case that they're next in line as well.
Yeah, I mean, the 170-pound division is one of the toughest divisions. 55s and 70s are always just stacked. So many guys at that weight. So it's always just deep there. So there's a lot of guys you can make a case, especially Wonderboy. He hasn't fought him yet. So, I mean, Burns is great. It was a great fight. But in my opinion, he's got to win a couple just because he lost, even though he won that first round, but then he got knocked out. So it's hard to give you a rematch after getting knocked out in the second, in my opinion. You got to win at least two if I was the matchmaker, if not three.
That's true. And I guess from all the names we just said, Leon's the one who actually hasn't had the opportunity to fight for that belt. You know, Wonderboy's had an opportunity to fight for the belt. Gilbert, Colby Covington. Leon is the one guy who hasn't, even though he's fought Usman, but that was 2015.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. That's like, 6 years ago? It's too long of a... I think he's definitely earned it, so... But, I mean, but the other one makes sense. Like I said, Masvidal, that'd be a big money fight for him. He needs a big fight at this point. We just had a big fight, but he certainly deserves another one. So it's got to be Masvidal or Usman.
Well, the one thing, though, that hasn't been talked about, too, it's... remember the fight between Bilal Muhammad at resulting the eye pokes, obviously recently March 13th against Leon Edwards?
Yeah.
If Dana does give Colby Covington the title shot, what about having the rematch for Leon Edwards and Bilal Muhammad? And Bilal Muhammad, you know, just beat a guy who you beat, legend Maya, in the game, his last fight, Damian Maya.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other guys right there, I guess. I actually didn't watch the Leon Muhammad fight, so I didn't see that one, see what happened, so I missed that, unfortunately. But yeah, he's obviously a guy close in line as well.
And if it is Colby versus Usman, their rematch, how do you see that one playing out, if that is next?
Man, it's a good fight. I mean, Edwards look, you know, majorly improved, hard to take down, but Usman's got great takedowns, so it makes it tough. You can put him on his back. It's a tough fight for Edwards stylistically. I mean, it's hard to pick, but if I was forced to pick, I might would say Usman.
If Vittori would have beat Adesanya, I think I scored Adesanya with winning all five rounds against Vittori. How did you see that fight going out?
I mean, I wasn't really watching try and score. I was casually watching. I think Vittori definitely lost. He may have, you know, there was like one or two rounds that were close, but I mean, yeah, he was definitely the loser. I do think he fought well, though. A lot of pressure, had some takedowns. But Izzy did a great job of getting back to his feet. When he got taken down, I'm like, oh, he might be in trouble, but he was able to get back to his feet or get reverses. He just stayed slightly ahead of him on the feet. I mean, Vittori was pushing forwards, attacking, but just Izzy kept just slightly outstriking him. It's kind of very similar to the first fight.
Yeah, I think it was definitely the toughest title defense to date that he's had. I mean, the toughest fight he had prior to date, I thought, was the Kelvin Gastelum fight.
Yeah, no, it was a tough fight. Like I said, like, Vittori is not an easy guy to beat. He's constantly attacking pressure. He seems to not get hurt and just keeps walking forwards. But Izzy was just slightly staying one step ahead of him.
I feel like, though, if Vittori would have beat Izzy, then you would have seen Usman go up and challenge for the 185 belt against Vittori.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a great fight as well. But that's I guess he's a guy that could go up as well. That could be a super fight. Not sure if he wants to fight Izzy, but that would be a good fight.
I think they're too close to friends. They got the Nigerian blood, like the three Nigerian kings.
Yeah, but money talks, too. I don't know if they're that good of friends for the payday.
That's true.
And then so now it's what, Izzy and Rob, too?
Izzy and Rob, too.
Yeah, probably that the official fight or just the one most likely looks like, yeah.
I think, you know, Dana even confirmed that Rob's next, and I think they've been already bantering on Twitter. They both know. Mm-hmm. Izzy knows he's next. Robert knows he's next. I think the only thing left to do is sign on the dotted line.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a fight I want to see. First one was quick, but I think, Whittaker's a great fighter, so.
Well, do you think he's improved enough from their first fight to beat him this time around?
I mean, he's probably improved a little bit, but I think maybe he just might have had a bad fight as well. You can't necessarily, you know, he might have just got caught out there. So maybe not huge improvements, but I think he might have a better night. But again, I would probably pick Izzy, and you know, he dominated him the first time, so he's got to be the favorite going in.
So let's backtrack a little bit to fight week. Mm-hmm. Were you with Nick and Nate, I guess, all week?
Hanging out with them pretty much the whole week out there. I think he came out, Tuesday. They came out earlier, but I was out there Tuesday hanging out with them and working out and, going out a little bit as well.
Did you stay at the mansion in Paradise Valley?
No, I got a hotel. It was they had a great place out there. I was there a lot of the time, but it was too many people there. It was too cramped. I need my own space to get back to.
Well, then what was the after party like? Because you invited everybody back.
Yeah, after party was crazy. Well, it ended up not. I think the cops came and broke it up, but they still let a lot of us come there. It got a little too out of control. So the cops made some of the people leave, but they let a lot of people stay. And the kind of cops were actually really cool. They kind of stayed there all night to make sure it didn't get too out of control, but they weren't like. They were letting us party as long as it didn't get too nuts.
Oh, I was going to say, were the cops cool? Like, they had a beer or two?
The cops were really cool, yeah. They were not drinking with us, but they kind of just blocked the street off to make sure it. They stayed down there all night to make sure it didn't get too crazy, but they let us stay up there and party.
I'm sure a lot of them were Nate Diaz fans, too.
Yeah, they were very friendly, so.
It's funny, before I was the schmo, I watched the first fight with Nate Diaz and Conor McGregor in Old Town Scottsdale, and then probably a few months later, I saw Nate Diaz, and this was before I was covering MMA, in Old Town Scottsdale, nicest guy ever, bought everybody rounds of tequila, and I probably had two or three shots of tequila on Nate Diaz.
That's awesome, yeah. No, people are always surprised. I know Nick and Nate have a bad rep as the bad boys of MMA, but they're the nicest guys when you meet them. As long as you're not disrespecting them, they're going to be super friendly, and they like to go out and have a good time and treat everyone with respect.
I tell Helen this all the time because I've done triathlons. I'm not as active in the triathlon community as those guys are. I've gone up to half Ironman distance, but I haven't met really anyone in that community that's a bad person.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really do any of the triathlons, so I don't know that industry, but I know they're super into it. I think Nick more so. He's even done the Ironmans and stuff. Remember one of his fights, he did like an Ironman, like a month before a fight. I'm like, you're crazy. That's like a lot of work.
He's done the half Ironman and trying to do your Ironman, right?
The goal was always a half before 30 and a full before 40. I made that for that, and I still have about 9 years to go in this 9-year window to do a full Ironman.
Yeah, I like that. I'm good on that. I'll pass. I'll pass an Ironman. Yeah, that's a little too extreme for me.
Too much running and biking.
Yeah, I don't know if Nate's an Ironman, but I know Nick has for sure. I'm like, man, you're crazy.
But I think there, and a lot of fighters, obviously Paul Felder just did his first half Ironman, but a lot of fighters, and I feel like the Diaz brothers kind of set a popular trend for it, are really getting into swimming, biking, and running as part of their cardio regimen.
Yeah, it's just a great way to build conditioning. You can't beat it. I mean, all those are great ways. I mean, all the old school boxers used to run, and you can't beat it. A lot of MMA guys have pulled away from running and don't want to do it, but I think it's you should run. And I never swim a lot, but that's also a great way to build conditioning.
Helen's all about the swimming, so.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not against swimming. I'm just not very good at it, so I get in there and kind of flop around. So I'm like, I'm just going to run instead.
Of course, as long as you
Nick was always trying to get me to go swimming with him, but I was just so slow. I'm like, he's smoking me. I'm gonna go run. This is embarrassing.
I've seen he's a fast swimmer.
Yeah, I can't keep up with those guys, so I'm like, I think because I was bad at it, I'm like, I'm just going to run.
And Nick looks like he's in great shape right now, too.
Yeah, he's training again. It's good, you know, because for a while he wasn't training that much, taking time off. So he's dedicated out there, you know, sparring, doing jiu-jitsu, running a lot. You know, I know he wants to fight. It's a matter of Dana to make the fight now.
I saw him training, too, recently with Tyson Fury in Miami, the Gypsy King, getting some boxing with him. I'm sure that's valuable experience.
Yeah, that's great, you know, training with a world champion. The guy's a lot bigger, obviously. They probably weren't sparring, but just in there messing around, he probably picked up some good tips.
Well, do you foresee him coming back in 2021?
I think so. He's training. I think he's ready to, probably by the end of the year, as long as Dana offers him a good fight. I mean, I'm not sure who would offer him. I think Masvidal would make sense. That'd be a huge, tough fight, but a huge money fight. They got to, you know, they could build it up. They're both, they both come up that thug lifestyle. They could build it, you know, the bad motherfucker belt or something.
You got to put that on the line. You got to put that on the line.
Because Nick was kind of the original bad motherfucker in the sport. So that fight would just make sense, in my opinion.
170.
Yeah, 170.
I think that's a great fight to make.
That is.
That makes a lot of sense.
And even the storyline makes sense.
He's popular enough for it. Both big, huge names, and there is the perfect storyline for that.
Yeah, that'd be the mega fight, in my opinion. I mean, if I haven't fought Nate as well, it's just they could build the story up and sell that fight huge.
Yeah, and then if you're Nate, and if Conor loses this fight, I think, you know, to go back on that, that's
a trilogy. Yeah, if Conor loses, that's a no-brainer.
And you have to do that, too, because that's part of the reason, like, Dustin knew he chose the Conor trilogy over a title fight because he knew that this opportunity might not come again if he didn't take it now.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that it's a bigger money fight, not for the title, but that was, in his opinion, I mean, my opinion, that he definitely did the correct thing. People are like, he's stupid turning down the titles. Would you rather have the title or just make three times as much money? I mean, I'm definitely going to go three times as much money than a title.
And I think, too, because Conor's like that one fighter that Dana's been having these pay-per-view cards with as a main event without a belt on the line. I feel like a Diaz brother is worthy of that, too.
Oh, yeah, especially if it's like Nick versus Masvidal or something. That'll definitely a main event fight.
And here we are.
Planting the seeds.
Planting the seeds. That's what's important.
Yeah, and they can get paid because, I mean, Nick wants to get paid, and that's a fight where he can get paid with.
Well, do you know if his manager, Kevin, has talked to Dana about it, Masvidal?
I know he's talking to Dana about fights. I don't know about particular opponents, to be honest. I mean, I talked to Nick about wanting to fight again and talking about who he wants.
Yeah.
So.
But it makes sense.
Yeah, I was the asshole at UFC 261, the post-fight press conference, that threw in Khamzat Chimaev's name for
Yeah, I mean, that guy's a good up-and-comer, but it just makes no sense. I mean, the guy, I mean, he's beating some good guys. I mean, he's beating some good guys, but no one that's any name yet. So to put Nick against an up-and-comer would make no sense, in my opinion.
I've kind of sided towards against that. And I when you said Masvidal, and because we might have joked about, not joked, but like talked about in passing, but with the way the cards are aligning, the way these fights have played out, especially after Saturday night, that is, to me, the fight to make.
Yeah, Nick's got to fight a megastar that's been in the sport for a while, not like a new up-and-comer. You know, Nick's been in the sport for 20 years. It makes sense to him to fight someone who's been around, well-established, another guy that's someone like a Masvidal.
Yeah, he's earned that, too.
Yeah, exactly. And that would be great for both of them. They both get paid, both get a super fight, and, you know, both a main event on pay-per-view.
BMF title on the line.
Yep.
That's the move. Right before we went to Phoenix, we spent time in Miami. We saw the circus show. You know, our audience knew we were going there. Logan Paul, Floyd Mayweather. Not sure if you watched that fight, but were you any surprises?
Not really. You know, I kind of similar to how I went, I knew Logan Paul's not a bad boxer. He's not like world champion level, but he's a good boxer. And Mayweather's super defensive. He doesn't go out there for the knockouts, and he's given up like 40 pounds. He's 44. He completely dominated and controlled the fight. I mean, he probably could have. If he would have hunted for a knockout, he could have got it, but it's not really the way he fights. He goes out there and just picks people apart, and that's kind of what happened.
Well, what do you think of the Paul brothers and kind of what they're doing in boxing?
I think they're decent boxers. They're not like elite world championship boxers, but, you know, they take it serious at least. They do train every day. They take it serious. So, can't, I mean, they were already famous, and they're taking the sport serious, and, you know, can't blame them for trying to make money. At least they're not out there, you know, not training at all and just jumping out there.
Well, Jake Paul's about to fight someone you fought, Tyron Woodley.
And someone you beat before he's the championship run, but when he had like barely any blemishes on his record at that point, too. He was an absolute killer. Not the same Tyron we've seen the past couple of years. You beat him in his heyday.
Yeah, no, he's a great fighter. You know, major, major power. The one thing, though, the major, major power punchers won't transfer over quite as well as boxing, because he throws a lot of single shot knockout punches. Boxing, the gloves pad that a little bit. He doesn't put huge combinations together, so I don't think his boxing will be quite as good as MMA, but I still think he'll be a better boxer than Jake Paul.
And you trained with him before his last fight here in the UFC, so you know most. You know better than most. Does he win this fight, and why?
I mean, I think he'll win, but you can't count Paul out. I mean, he is. He's still a great fighter. He's slightly past his prime a little bit, but Paul's a good boxer. Hope he takes it serious and trains hard for it. If he takes it lightly and just, you know, doesn't train, not doing TMZ and messing around, he could lose. If he trains his ass off and takes it serious and has like pro coaches and trained every day and doing the road work, he wins. He just needs to make sure he's in great shape, because, you know, this is by far the biggest moment for Jake Paul. He's training really, really hard. Like, this is his world title shot in his mind. And, you know, so hopefully Woodley's looking at it like, hey, I need to knock this guy out. Hopefully he's not looking at it as a payday and going out there and doesn't really care, because if he does that, he could end up losing.
Well, didn't Floyd Mayweather also offer to train Tyron?
I think he accepted that. I think Tyron's going to come back here in Vegas, where you now fully live here, and you're training. You have classes over at Extreme Couture that you're hosting.
Yeah, been out here, you know, for about 7 months now, living out in Vegas, training. But I think it'd be great if Woodley comes out here. If he comes out here, boxes every day, does the road work, is in great shape, I think he'll dominate Paul. So as long as he takes this like a world championship fight, he should win.
And you just mentioned, so you moved out here 7 months ago.
Yeah.
What made you decide to move here?
The main thing is California. I was in San Francisco. The COVID lockdowns were just insane out there. Yeah. Gyms couldn't be open. We weren't even allowed to eat outdoors at a restaurant. Couldn't even like get, you had to get takeaway food. You weren't allowed to like do anything. It was just completely insane. So San Francisco was just covered in homeless people and criminals, and so I got the hell out of there.
Can't blame you.
Yeah, the mayor and the governor just ran that city and stayed under the ground. Hopefully it'll bounce back after, but I think it'll take a little bit.
I think we went to Seattle, and March was our first time. And what I noticed about San Francisco, too, I always felt like if there's one city to start, like if there's a revolution that ends up happening in this country, like I feel like the disparity between rich and poor and that area is a killer. But there were more people, like bums on the streets, than actual civilians when we're in Seattle.
Yeah, that's mostly what San Francisco is now. And people, it's like, it's not the regular homeless, not people down the luck. Like people, the people that are drug addicts go to San Francisco because they know they can like shoot crack on the street, like shoot or shoot heroin, smoke crack. They can knock out windows and rob. The cops won't arrest them. They won't arrest you for under $1,000 property. So you can literally just rat, steal someone's purse, run off. And the cops be like, oh, sorry, can't do anything. And if they arrest them, the DA will just let them out. So the city is completely falling apart.
And the grocery stores too. Like
they can walk in and steal, and they can't be arrested for it. They walk up, they take bags, they just load it up and walk out. Like I think like 17 CVSs is closed this year because they're just getting robbed, and the cops won't arrest you. The DA won't press charges. It's if you want to see what not to do in a city, it's look at San Francisco. Complete incompetence.
Wow. I mean, it's sad because my parents always talk about their Chinatown, and I think the last time I went, it was probably over 10 years ago, but it was with my parents to go to Chinatown.
Yeah. Well, yeah, speak of that, too. I'm sure you've seen all, like, the Asian attacks in San Francisco. They're all in San Francisco and New York. And the reason that's happening is because they're letting all these criminals out of jail, and they're getting emboldened because they're not being arrested for anything. So they're going around. It's not just Asians are attacking. Those are the ones the news is picking up because they're getting away with whatever. And they're just, you know, they're punching people, and nothing's happening to them. The DA won't put anyone in jail. It's insane.
That is not the model to follow.
No, so whatever you – so do whatever San Francisco does, do the opposite.
So now come to Vegas.
Yeah, it's better here at the moment. So
just hot.
It is, but the housing market is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I started looking, thinking about buying something here, and it's nuts. Things are moving so quick. Prices are shooting up.
And then we were talking to people in Arizona last week. It's probably even worse there than it is here, and it's bad here.
That's what I heard. In Arizona, I think things are just flying because everyone's leaving California. Thank Governor Newsom. He's driving the prices up everywhere else.
Yeah, it's, I mean, plus in this day and age where everybody can work from home, like, why are you going to want to live in a cold weather city when you can work from home and be somewhere else? Like,
yeah.
In this state, there's no income tax.
Yeah, that's a big big saver as well.
Everything's open up, too. What have you been to the Apex at all during this COVID era to watch any of these fights?
No, I haven't been to any of the fights. I've been there to train a few times with some fighters, but haven't stopped by for any of the fight chip.
It's interesting because they are going to maintain, I think, for the time being, having all these fight nights with no crowd, at least for the end of 2021, and do the pay-per-views at different cities. You know, some of these fighters, we ran into Dan Ige at Extreme Couture. Mm-hmm. You know, he's like, he kind of joked about it today with us when we interviewed him. Is there going to be some sort of kind of a letdown of having the electricity and being at the Gila River Arena in Glendale, Arizona, and then going to the Apex with zero crowd?
Yeah, I know the crowd was definitely great having the crowd back, so I think it's better having the crowd, but I think it's probably just easier for the UFC. You know, they don't have to travel, they can stay here, they probably save a lot of money with the productions, but it would be nice if they could maybe, like, I'm not sure how big the Apex is, but maybe they could bring some fans in there. It would be nice.
They have before. I know we've seen Contender Series there. I think they can fit about like 300 guests in there.
Yeah, so that would add to it. I think really you need probably like 2,000 to really add the energy, though. 300 is good, but it's still probably not quite enough to get that energy.
2,000 was like towards the end of the Fight Islands, right? Mm-hmm. It was about 2,000.
Yeah,
I think that's kind of like the minimum to really add that energy. Maybe not, though. Maybe it was a really enthusiastic crowd of like 300 could add that energy.
So I have to ask you, because Francis Ngannou, I know he was at the fights as well. He's back. I know he's in Africa. Mm-hmm. Was he in the gym today?
I did not see him. I've not seen him since he left, so I don't know when he got back, but that's great that he's back. So I saw some videos. Looked like he was a superstar over there. So.
Oh, yeah. Now Kamaru is over there now, too.
Yeah, man. That's crazy how three champs from Africa. I'm sure they're blowing it up in that country. I guess might be difficult, but the UFC has to do a show over there at some point.
Yeah.
Have to.
And definitely.
Just when the full world is back to normal.
Yeah, so it's finally getting back to normal here in the U.S., but I guess a lot of places aren't.
And with Francis Ngannou, though, I've asked Dana this a few different times, but he wants to fight Jon Jones next, and I think the world wants to see that.
That's certainly what I want. I mean, Dana should just cough up the money and pay him. It's ridiculous. You know, John Jones deserves the money. Francis deserves to get paid. If Mayweather can make $100 million and Jake Paul can make $20 million, they should be able to make $15 million apiece and get that fight together and that the fans want to see.
Well, I'm just surprised that, you know, we're not leaving the table open for that to be the next fight. You know, I know Richard Schaefer comes from the boxing world. You come in there, you know, negotiate. You know, not everyone's going to win, but everybody comes away accepting what's going to happen. But, you know, he says Derek Lewis is next. Do you think that gets in the way? Does Jon Jones lose any leverage in that type of situation?
I mean, maybe a little, but I think all the fans want to see Jon Jones. I think that's what Francis wants. It's just the fight to make. I mean, I guess they can give him Derek Lewis, which, I mean, that's a cool fight too, but Jon Jones is the fight you got to do. The guy deserves it. He's been champ for, I don't know how long, I've been champ forever, pretty much never lost. He has that one, you know, disqualification, but he was dominating the guy. He lost by knocking the guy out, so it's not really a loss. The guy's, you know, pretty much undefeated, one of the greatest champs of all time. To not give him a title fight is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I think I saw a tweet that Francis said, is John not planning on returning till next year, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know exactly what's going on in John's mind, but I think he just wants money as far as I know. I think he's ready to fight whenever. I could be wrong, but I think it's just a matter of wanting to get paid.
And that's what these Paul brothers are kind of planting the seeds for. You know, they're getting all the MMA people talking about them. They're getting the fighters talking about fighting them. And then he brings up the biggest sensitive subject there is, fighter pay.
Yeah, I mean, it's been going on too long. I think it's time the fighters bring this up and fight back a little bit. I mean, throughout most of my career, the fighter pay was always going up. So I was like, okay, you kept seeing it go up and go up. I think the last 7 years, it hasn't gone up at all. It stayed like stagnant since I was fighting. These guys are making, I think, pretty sure it's about 10 to 15% of the revenue, and the UFC is keeping like 90 to 85%, and like basketball, football split at 50-50. So, I mean, even if they went jumped up to 30%, they could double every fighter's contract. So I think it's time the UFC, hopefully they'll do it on their own. If not, the fighters might have to form some kind of union and go on strike.
It has to be some sort of union. They're all independent contractors. Mm-hmm. There's nothing they can do unless they're unified.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough in fighting because it is hard to know who's worth what. It's not necessarily like basketball or football, so it's not an easy sport to come up with a union, but it's getting to the point where the fighters deserve more than 10 to 15%. What's really weird, too, a lot of the fans, the guys ask for more, and you'll see all the fans being like, you don't deserve that. You don't deserve that. It's like, well, these guys think the Dana and the suits at Disney deserve 90% of the money. It's kind of ridiculous. The fighters deserve at least 30, 50%. And I think Dana deserves to be rich as well, but I think, you know, they need to share a little more of the pie.
What do you make of the frequency of fights that are happening now? Because there seems to be a fight pretty much every single weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it's good and bad. Overall, it's great. You know, there's so many fighters. You get to fight all the time. Sometimes it loses a little excitement. I remember back in the old days, it was like a fight every 2 months. So you'd be so excited when they came on. But it's great. You know, keeping guys fighting. There's so many fans, and it's, you know, a lot of guys out there.
Now, you made your pro MMA debut back in 1999. So you've seen so much in this sport. What have you noticed is something that needs to get done that maybe, for example, like judges or something that can help improve this sport and grow even more?
I mean, yeah, the judging's always been a problem, but it's hard to know because there's not really exact criteria. It's kind of up to the judge. They don't tell you like what the scoring's based off of, so it gets tricky. Some judges are looking at striking, some are looking at grappling, because no one really knows. People have talked about the open scoring, which, I mean, I'm not really sure. I think it would be great to see some show try the open scoring, see how it goes. But there's some downsides to that, too. If you know the scores, there might be the guy just run the last round. So I would love to see a smaller promotion try that out and see if that works out well. The weight cutting is another issue. But again, it's hard to solve because guys are, you know, ONE FC is doing the hydration test. But apparently there's guys finding ways to cheat those as well.
What I find just so fascinating is there's an athletic commission for every single state. So the criteria in Nevada is going to be different than Arizona, than New York, and everything like that. And I said this, too, and I think I said this at Nate's post-fight press conference. If that same situation, you know how the cut opened up over his eye, I feel like it was just as bad as what we saw in New York, and that athletic commission stopped the fight. It's all based off of a criteria of a different judging system state by state.
Yeah, I don't think that's good either. It'd be nice to have some kind of unified, which hopefully one a little less strict. Like some places are too strict, like New York. There are too many tests to make you get. Like some of the, I mean, to get certified to fight sometimes it's ridiculous. Sometimes fighters are spending like $2,000 to get certified, and if you're not making any money, sometimes these small shows, you might be getting paid $1,000 and you got to spend $2,000 on medical expenses to get covered to fight. So guys can be losing money to fight when they're trying to come up.
Yeah, I just think that there's a lot of transparency that needs to be there that isn't there, but it's kind of been the status quo that's been there for a long time, and everyone's just accepted it for the way it is.
Yeah, I know it's tough with these commissions, but it'd be great to get some kind of like nationwide unified. But I guess it's hard when each state has their own rules. Some commissions have hardly any rules, they're super easy to deal with. Other ones are a complete pain.
How many days a week are you training or you have your classes here?
Just like twice a week. I'm just teaching like Monday, Wednesday night, teach people. But then I work with a lot of the pros like other days, you know, like one-on-one, I work with a bunch of guys. So I'm pretty much in the gym every day.
Is there still a lot of different people coming into Extreme Couture from different camps? Because I know like Walt Harris is someone who's come into this camp recently too. And I kind of feel like a lot of the states that have kind of had more restriction than Vegas, a lot of the fighters kind of come here and use this as a second home.
Yeah, there's a ton of guys coming through here. And I'm not sure if it's just because of COVID, you know, people coming through because it's open, or if it's always like that because Vegas is kind of central hub. But that's what's great. There's always guys coming through training from other countries, other states. So it makes it fun at the gym, always getting new guys to train with.
And Aljamain Sterling's been back, too. He's come off of his, I mean, I'm sure it's pretty light, but he's come back.
I've seen him a little bit, but haven't seen him, like, in the pro training or anything. He's gone in there doing a little pad work and whatnot.
Probably still recovering from the surgery.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen him hitting pads, though, so I know he's at least back working out, but I don't know if he's been grappling or anything yet.
Well, speaking of grappling, I've seen you do grappling tournaments in the past. Mm-hmm. Do you have any tournaments lined up, or are you still going to compete in this?
I don't have anything set up, but I'm still going to compete. I mean, I think I'll compete for a while as long as long as I can keep doing it. I'm still able to compete with, like, you know, the young guys in their 20s right now, so I'm still doing it. Eventually I might start doing the Masters Division, but I think I got at least another 5 years till I got to do that.
What do you make of the fight this weekend with Ige and Korean Zombie in the featherweight division?
I mean, super excited for that fight. Ige is the guy, you know, here I train with a good amount. I mean, I like him, so I'm favored Ige. I think he'll pull the fight out, but Korean Zombie is, you know, good stand-up. And it's a good fight because they both got good stand-up and good grappling. They both don't have huge weaknesses. They're both good everywhere, so it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
And then you got Max Holloway fighting Yair Rodriguez. Obviously, we're all going to wait for Brian Ortega and Volkanovski. Do you think, like, the winner of Zombie and Ige has the potential to, you know, a Beth Tanan performance, get that next in line shot of Holloway?
It could, especially if Volkanovski wins, because he's, you know, they've had a couple fights with Holloway that haven't been it's a tough matchup for Holloway, so I could see him jumping ahead if that happens.
Do you think Volkanovski has beaten Holloway in both those fights?
They were close, you know, hard ones to predict. That's the thing, they were so close, so it's hard to know.
What about Volkanovski and Ortega?
That's a good fight, too. I don't know. It's interesting to see how that goes. We'll see, you know, how good his jiu-jitsu is. So that's very interesting.
And then Jan Blachowicz, you know, winning the lightweight strap in an older age, late 30s and stuff like that. Do you think he's someone who's going to hold on to that title and defend it? I mean, he's got Glover Teixeira next. And Glover's also, is kind of the last hurrah as well.
Yeah, Glover's, he's older, what? He's like 42?
Yeah, he's around your age.
Yeah, he's someone I've known forever. He's trained with him way back in Stanislaus Bispo with Chuck Liddell. So it's I'm happy seeing him get a title fight. He's a guy I've known forever. I love seeing the other old-time guys that have been in the sport like me get a title shot. And yeah, that's a tough fight. I don't know. I think they're both good, and it's hard to predict who will win that.
If Glover does not win, is that his last fight?
I mean, it's up to him at that point, you know, if he wants to keep fighting or not. He's been looking really good. He's been really going straight back to grappling, so it could make it a tough fight. He's been doing a good job of just going in, taking guys down, and beating them up.
What I really like, too, in that division is you have Rakic and, like, Jiří Prochazka, like, two up-and-coming younger guys, kind of like the change of the guard right there in the wing. So it's like you have the Jans, Blachowicz, and you have Glover, the late 30s, early 40s against these guys in their 20s.
Yeah, so you got those young up-and-comers who are also looking great, making the divisions exciting again.
Even the fight this weekend, Paul Craig and Jamahal Hill, his arm.
Yeah, that was...
I'm shocked.
Oh, my gosh.
I am shocked that it wasn't broken. It was just dislocated.
Oh, really? It didn't break?
Yeah, they just kind of put it back in place.
Yeah, I ran out after the fight. I saw it snap. That's when I ran out of the bathroom. I didn't realize, was he able to walk around after that? Because it looked bad during the fight.
It looked like Jell-O, right? But I guess in the back, they popped it back in place, and he went and partied with Paul Craig later night.
That's great. Yeah. See, I never watched either one of those guys fight, and Paul Craig jiu-jitsu looked really good. I was surprised. Like, oh, this guy's got some legit jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. Brandon Moreno beating Davison Figueiredo. I think that was absolutely huge.
Yeah, no, it was huge. I mean, Moreno looked great. He huge improvements from the last fight. He went out there and just picked him apart. It was very impressive. I think it's he'd be a big star. I mean, it's the first Mexican-born champion. I mean, obviously, there's been guys of Mexican descent, you know, be out there. But this is going to be the first, like, real superstar from Mexico. And Mexicans love fighting. Boxing has always been super big there. Now UFC is growing. I think this will just help push UFC over the top in Mexico.
It'll be interesting to see kind of how the popularity stacks up with Brandon and Canelo. Obviously, no one's saying he's at Canelo's level right now or anything like that. But it's going to be interesting to see where it compares, because it'll tell you where MMA stacks up against boxing, which has huge heritage in Mexico.
Yeah, like I said, boxing is just massive in Mexico. So this hopefully could be good to push it up to that level.
And he got, like, this artist painted a mural of him, like, right away, too.
Oh, wow. Hey, I didn't see that. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, I think he's big down there, especially if he can defend the belt a few times.
I think he's actually heading down to Mexico tomorrow to do a victory tour.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's going to be great.
It's already been set up.
Well, something you mentioned about weight cuts, Davison, he struggled through quite a bit weight cuts. So if you're him, do you move up in weight now, or what do you think he should do?
I mean, you got to either, it's tough. You either got to get your weight a little more in check or move up, because these brutal weight cuts, sometimes it hurts guys. You're sucking down weight, sometimes you don't perform as well because you spend the last few weeks only thinking about weight, running, dehydrated, and you go out there, it can hurt your performance. So if you're not making it, sometimes it's better just to move up and fight up weight.
And then, I think we kind of touched on it briefly, but the bantamweight division, we talked about Aljamain Sterling. I'm really looking forward to this TJ Dillashaw against Corey Sandhagen fight in July 24th, I believe, is the date, that fight night. you know, TJ got injured during training. They had to postpone the fight. Obviously, he had that 2-year suspension for the EPO. It'd be interesting to see where how he comes back in the mix of all this stuff.
Oh, yeah, I'm really curious about TJ because he was always a great fighter, looked impressive. So I'm curious to see how he comes back, if he's going to look disimpressed, you know, off the layoff. Is being off the drugs going to affect him? Was it something he did one fight? Has he been doing that in whole career? It's something we don't know. It could have just been a one-time thing, and it might not affect him at all. And that's going to be great to see how he comes back. And he was a guy I always liked fighting, so I hope he's able to come back and do it drug-free.
Well, do you think the suspension was fair for him to get a 2-year suspension for that?
Yeah, I mean, that's all, you know, subjective. I don't know. 1 year, 2 years, it's hard to say. I mean, that's the rules. So it's, you know, if he did it, I guess something he's got to deal with.
What's crazy, too, is when we talk about the different rules, I think it was just recently Nevada, they took, like, marijuana off of, like, the performance-enhancing substances and stuff like that because, like, someone like Kelvin Gastelum was suspended, like a year ago, or Jamal Hill had his win in Vegas a couple fights ago overturned because he tested positive for marijuana.
They overturned the win for it? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, to a no contest.
Not a performance enhancer. It's illegal in like half the states. It's just like I think some commissions are still testing for it even. I think, you know, USADA took it off, but I think other places are testing. It's ridiculous. It's time just to drop it. Let guys that want to smoke, smoke. Guys that don't. I think it's not helping the guys, so let people smoke.
I couldn't believe, speaking of smoke, you know, just watching Dana's reaction at the press conference when Nate lit up the joint, and obviously did in the post-fight press conference too.
Yeah.
I just think they accept it.
Yeah, I think so. And I think Nate kind of lit that up at the perfect time because it was the whole press conference was just Izzy and Marvin yelled at each other. You see, he got bored over there and just kind of let him over this press conference and start smoking instead. It was pretty brilliant.
That was amazing.
And I just think like the UFC, they just let him do his thing because they know his star power.
Yeah, I think it's just so big at this point, it's not worth yelling at him. So just let him be and let him smoke. And I guess apparently Arizona must have taken it off their testing.
Definitely. And I guess you can do it inside buildings, too. He did that backstage in that tiny room in the press room Saturday night when he came back there, which I was surprised, by the way, that he still waited to the end of the night after the fight to come back and talk to the media, which nobody does, especially if you're not the main event fight and you're, you know, obviously didn't get the result that you were looking for.
Yeah, I figured he'd been gone. I was surprised the media after, too. I figured he would have bounced, but it's just, you know, they probably wanted him to stay around because he was you know, he's the biggest star of the night. Even though he lost, like Nate Diaz was the one selling tickets.
And more people are talking about Nate Diaz's performance against Leon just because of how it went down at the end than Leon actually getting the victory, which is bizarre.
It was pretty crazy. Yeah, Nate lost the fight but still came out a winner, you know.
Yeah. And even when he was walking out, I feel like that's when even fans were smoking or started smoking. Did you smell that?
We smelled it.
Yeah, I think people were like, well, if Nate's doing it, I'm going to do it. Now I'm supposed to smoke indoors, but if he can get away with it. After the club, you know, everyone was smoking there. No one says anything. It's like, all right, I guess he can just smoke wherever. They just kind of let him be.
Which club? Were you guys in Old Town?
Yeah, we went to, I don't know where they got them all mixed up. There's that street where all the clubs are, so we went to a few of them out there.
I think we
Is
went.
Is that where we went before?
That's where I took you at the beginning of when we started dating, yeah. That's where I saw Nate.
But even going out, even going out with Nate now, it's like chaos when he comes in. It's just completely like when Mayweather walks in the club now, it's like just chaos. Like, damn, man, this guy's turned into a superstar.
Yeah, what's it been like kind of seeing him grow and progress since you said he was 16?
Yeah, I mean, like, he's had fame for a while from the hardcore people, of course. So, you know, he's always been pretty big. But then after those Conor fights, it just turned massive where he can barely walk around the streets now. Even when he, like, comes to New York, when I was living up there, he visited me. Like, famous people usually get left alone in New York, but he was just getting mobbed there. It's like, you know, can't even really walk around anymore. It's got to the point where it's almost, like, almost too much. But at least he's finally getting paid, so that's good.
And what I like the most about it, too, is at least from everything I've seen, he treats everybody with just such respect and class.
Yeah, I know. He's a super nice guy. Like, even when people are mobbing him. And sometimes he might run off sometimes. It's getting to be too much, but he's never, like, rude to people.
And I read that story because at the presser at the end, he gave Mark Raimondi from ESPN a shout-out because he did a story where all of Nate's friends talked about how good of a friend he is.
Oh, yeah. Some guy called me for that. It must have been him. I don't know who it was. Someone called me asking about Nate. So that must have been the guy.
Oops.
Did you answer?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, you did the story.
I just get all the reporters mixed up, to be honest. Someone will call me and be like, do I know who this is? They got my number somehow. Sometimes I answer, sometimes I don't.
For sure.
You're like that, too.
With what?
No, like when people reach out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know their faces if I see them, but if someone calls, they hear a name, like, oh, who the hell is this?
Yeah, I just have to politely just say, hey, can you remind me who this is? Or just get a, pretend you got a new phone number.
That's the only way to do that sometimes.
That's the way you have to do
until
it.
Until they watch this.
Yeah, now they know.
now they know for sure. Favorite part about living in Vegas? I know it's been 7 months.
I mean, the training, there's always guys train with here. I like not dealing with traffic. I was living in New York, San Francisco, so no parking problems, no traffic problems. That's great.
But you moved here when it was still like COVID, things were closed down.
Yeah, but I
was in San Francisco where everything was really closed down. Yeah. So compared to that, this was like, oh, you can go eat at restaurants, you can go train at a gym. We weren't allowed to go to gyms for like a year in San Francisco. So,
are you using the PI at all?
Occasionally, if I go in there with fighters, but not too often.
Not too often. I love what they have here. I mean, imagine during your heyday, mm-hmm. during your prime years, having a facility like that. They're able to test everything, and I feel like they're accommodating for – that's the one thing, too, though. I mean, I understand the pay should be improved, too, but they are getting some sort of treatment that boxers aren't getting from any of their organizations.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, it's good they're doing that. But, I mean, NFL, NBA does that times three and still gives a 50% of the money. So that's kind of a small thing compared to the money they're making.
It's the union. It's mm-hmm. the union. It's got
to
be.
Unfortunately, it might be to the point where they have to try to figure out how to do that.
For sure.
And you mentioned that, so you're trying to find a house like now as well, right?
Yeah, I'm not like looking like majorly fast. I was kind of looking around a little bit. The problem is you look and there's like 30, 40 offers on a place. So I don't want to like jump that quick.
Well, what side of town?
I was looking over like in Summerlin area.
Oh, that's a nice area.
Yeah, it's like not too far. It's a little bit nice right there.
Yeah.
Anything that we can get to the Strip in 15, 20 minutes or just that's close enough to these freeways because they take you everywhere at the 215, the 15?
Yeah, it's so easy getting around Vegas. Everything's like 20 minutes from the Strip. So it's not compared to living in New York, San Francisco, it's super easy getting around here.
Now, you fought the who's who's, but was there anyone that you wish you could have fought before, you know, you knew it was the end?
I would love to fight Anderson Silva. I almost fought him in the Rumble in the Rock tournament, and that would have been you know, he got disqualified against Yushin Okami, so you know, who was next in line for me to fight? So I missed that fight. That would have been phenomenal.
Would you box him now?
Probably not. I'll go jiu-jitsu match with him. I'll box him if he goes jiu-jitsu with me too.
I feel like that's the leverage that some of these fighters should play with. They're like, look, I'll box you, but then you have to do a jiu-jitsu tournament with me or a wrestling tournament. I mean,
yeah, actually, I'd rather do MMA with Anderson.
Well, and aren't they saying, like, for example, a lot of MMA fighters will go into boxing, but you don't see many boxers come to MMA.
Yeah, because it's, you know, it's really hard to learn and transfer to MMA. There's a few exceptions. Clarissa Shields just fought, so she I actually didn't watch the fight, but I saw she won, so it's I mean, I hear she got taken down a few times, right? So she had a little trouble, but she got through the fight. So it sounds like she needs a little more work, but she still won, so that's great.
And you understand that PFL format, because that's mm-hmm. where we saw you compete last with MMA. What do you make of what they're doing, and how, if you're them, how do you build up Clarissa Shields?
I mean, I think they do a pretty good job. You know, they got to give her another 3 or 4 more easier fights before they give her the mega tough opponents. They got to build her up a little bit. It's going to take her a year or two to get better at ground because it takes a while. That's the thing. Jiu-jitsu and wrestling are not easy to learn. You need to learn to stop the sprawls, get back to her feet. So I would say just slowly build her up and see how she goes from there.
Because I feel like they match her up with someone with high level jiu-jitsu, like she's trapped.
Yeah, they can't put her with Kayla yet. She's just too good at jiu-jitsu. I mean, that's the fight, super fight I'm sure looking at some point, but I just don't think she's ready for that.
What about the super fight between Kayla and her training partner Amanda Nunes?
I mean, yeah, that would be a good fight. I mean, I would love to see that one happen.
I feel like that is the name. If you're looking for who's the best on the planet, who's going to challenge Nunes, who is the greatest MMA female fighter of all time, it's Kayla has got to be the one to fight her.
I would agree. That's the one person I would say would have a shot of beating her because her judo is so good. She might could get her down and, you know, beat her there.
Well, what about Valentina versus Amanda for a third time?
Yeah, they could do that. I think Amanda's a little bit bigger, but Valentina's so good. That's a fight I'd watch as well. That's another person that's got a shot. But there's that size difference makes it a little bit tough.
Yeah, I got to say, Valentina would be the other name too. I can't ignore her. But because if you look at the 125-pound weight division, I just feel like the way she's been fighting through that division, like she's clearly that 1A star. And it's hard to say who's next in line and what they look. You could put her kind of like on a bubble or a league of her own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think both those girls have kind of cleared out their divisions, so it's tough finding opponents for them.
It is. But the strawweight division is exciting with Rose and Wei Li, and Joanna's going to be back in the mix.
Yeah, so there's a lot of exciting fights there.
Who's your, besides the Diaz brothers, who's your favorite fighter to watch right now?
Oh man, that's a tough one. I don't know. I actually didn't watch Fighting Football. I just started watching it again when I moved out to Vegas because I kind of took a little break from watching it because I was burnt out. So kind of just getting back into it after moving. So I started training like half the guys I trained with in the UFC. I'm like, oh, I better start watching it, seeing who everyone is again.
And a lot of the great ones are going through your gym too right now too.
Yeah, getting a lot of good fighters there.
Who would you say is the person that, since you've been working with them over these past 7 months, and that gym has kind of improved the most in the professional level?
It's hard to say. You know, I'll share this kid, Patchy Mix, for Bellator. He was phenomenal. He made huge improvements fast. I think he's a 35-pounder who's got huge potential, and there's just there's a lot of guys there that are making improvements.
I thought it was interesting that this fight happened not too long ago. Merab Dvalishvili came from New York. Aljamain Sterling, ally Quinta, trains with them. Mm-hmm. He fought Cody Stamann, who trains at Extreme Couture and works out of there first. Yeah. And I think he was there first. I thought it was interesting that those two guys fought, and I know they've trained against each other.
Yeah, there was a couple weeks where they were both training at the same gym when the fight was signed, and that was a little weird. I didn't really work with either one of those guys, but I know they're both at the gym, and I saw them sparring, and so I was like, oh, these guys are signed to fight. I'm like, oh, that's kind of weird. So I think at some point, I think Murad, I don't know if he was told not to train there or if he decided not to train there and did the rest of his camp, like little small gyms around here. But it was definitely a little weird that a fight signed and they're both training at the same gym.
Yeah, that's pretty bizarre.
Yeah, it's not something I would want to do, but...
No, I can't imagine. No. I can not imagine what that would be like.
Well, Francis, I was going to say, he looked really good in that fight against Stipe, that rematch.
Oh, yeah, Francis is... He's improving really fast. He's a guy, he's just so athletic with so much potential, and I think he's still like far off his potential. That's the crazy part. He has a lot of improvement to be made, for at least on the grappling end. He still could get a lot better, but his takedown defense is way better. He gets up to his feet a lot better. He actually has some submissions, you know, on top. He's got really good ground and pound. He has submissions. He just keeps improving.
Yeah, when he stuffed Stipe's takedown and took his back, I'm like, okay, this is a different human. Yeah. This is a different Francis Ngannou.
He's not scared to take people down now. You know, he don't mind going on the ground. So that's what it gets scary.
So then if the fight next is Derek Lewis, can you imagine the two guys with the heaviest power in MMA, the two guys that would, you know, knock each other out, would go and have a wrestling contest?
I could definitely see Francis going for a takedown. I mean, he's got because he got power. He's got, when he's on top, he can drop that same kind of power and knock people out with his ground and pound. So people got to watch both aspects from now, which gets scary.
I feel like with both those men though, with Derek or Francis, if they get on top of you, I don't see how anyone gets up.
Yeah, with him on top of you throwing bombs, it's not going to be easy. You better try to get your feet right away, otherwise you're gonna be in trouble.
What about Francis versus John Jones? How would you see that playing out?
Yeah, it's a great fight. That's why I want to see it. You know, I've been a Jones fan for years, and I think he's phenomenal. I think Francis just seems so much bigger, unless, you know, if has Jones properly put the weight on, it's going to be tough going up beating Francis. But, I mean, Jones is a guy that's never lost, so you can't count him out.
And I think that with the just improvements we saw, just from the Stipe fight, and I'm sure you see him every, you know, when he's in the gym all the time improving, like, I don't think the strategy of John Jones, who is obviously the superior wrestler, it's going to be a little bit different with Francis this time around.
Yeah, I think Jones is really going to go for takedowns, but Francis is not easy to take down. He's extremely strong. His sprawls are getting good. He gets back to his feet well, so it's a tough fight for Jones.
Mm-hmm. But were they targeting the rematch against Derek for Houston, right? Is that what the target location is?
They were targeting that. What we heard was they're targeting that fight, but in August as well. And they're still targeting the fight for August, but I just don't know what's taking so long to get the deal done.
Yeah, probably because there's that John Jones in the background, or, you know, maybe both these guys realize they deserve to get paid too. Maybe Lewis and Francis are like, hey, we're the heavyweight title. We deserve to get paid a little more.
I think money's definitely got something to do with it. I just don't know what that leverage situation's like. That's what the managers are for. But
yeah, I mean, Francis is a big star now, too. He needs to get paid, I'm sure. You know, hopefully his manager realizes that and is trying to get him paid. This guy's, I mean, not only is a big star in the U.S., you got Africa pushing over there. I'm sure, you know, he's probably big worldwide.
Who would you say, because we asked this fun question as we're kind of closing up here, like, what would you say is your Mount Rushmore of most impactful MMA fighters of all time to date?
I mean, well, from my area, there's guy. Well, Hoist Gracie, obviously, he was the first guy who dominated, so you can't count him out. And then there's Tito Ortiz, because he was a big star after that. Chuck Liddell, who I was good friends with. I think he was the first guy that crossed over into, like, mega stardom. Then after that, you got the Anderson Silvas, the George St. Pierre, you know, John Jones. There's a lot of guys. You know, now the big stars are Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz, and Nick Diaz.
It was fun to see Chuck Liddell refereeing, the guest referee for the Lamar Odom-Aaron Carter fight.
Yeah, I didn't watch that, but I heard he was doing reffing some boxing match.
I didn't even know they had beef.
We didn't watch it either, but this is the world we come to now.
And the TikTok versus YouTuber boxing.
I heard something about that, but what was that? Were they boxing or what?
They boxed in the same arena that we saw Logan Paul Mayweather in Miami Football Stadium, yeah.
And you saw the main event guy. What was his name? The TikTok star eating like chicken wings.
Oh yeah, so when we were
at 40 box.
Yeah, so at the Logan Paul Mayweather fight, his name's Bryce Hall, I think, and he was so much smaller than I thought. He was a tiny kid. I thought he was bigger than, I think the guy who he boxed was a lot bigger than him too. But yeah, 6 days before he was set to box in the same arena, I saw him like snacking on chicken fingers, French fries, pizza. Yeah. Scarfing it down. I mean, he's a 20-year-old kid with a fast metabolism, but still.
Most of these guys probably aren't taking it too seriously. You know, there's only, I'm sure Jake Paul and Logan will probably beat most of the other YouTubers up.
Yeah.
That's true.
For sure.
At least they can be king of the YouTubers.
Yeah. 100%.
Make a YouTube belt for boxing.
But, look, if Jake does beat Tyron, I mean, these guys are going to keep going and can carry on, and they're just not going to stop. I think it's going to be worse.
No, I mean, if he manages to win that fight, he'll talk a lot of crap, but that'll be a legit win, even though Tyron's a little older now, but that would still be a huge win. So
he's talking about boxing Nate Diaz.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, I think he'd have trouble with Nate. Nate's a really good boxer. He actually does a lot of boxing. He got experience in there. He puts combos together. That'd be a bad fight for him, but you know what? They both get paid, so.
And you think Nate would do that?
I mean, I don't know. I haven't asked him, but I mean, he likes making money, so.
I think that fight, that's at least worth 1.5. We got to put these into perspective, and it's got to happen. If he somehow gets through Tyron,
yeah,
I think that for sure can easily get at least 1.5 million pay-per-view.
Yeah,
that would be huge.
Maybe over 2.
That would be massive. That would be like the Logan Mayweather one. That would bring in massive viewership.
Yeah, that's kind of.
That would be interesting, yeah.
That's that. Do you have any kind of final thoughts you want to leave here with our audience? We really appreciate you coming on.
No, I'm good. Just thanks for having me on.
Of course. I appreciate you. You're an OG in the sport. Big ups to you. Helen, kind of any final thoughts? I kind of hinted that swimming, you've been watching the Olympic trials for swimming.
Yeah, the Olympic trials are on.
Just nice.
Got to give a shout out to my friend Forrest Beasley. He's actually helping us design our wall and our wallpaper. He competed in the Olympic trials. So,
oh, wow. That's awesome.
And that's a goal of mine for 2024 to be there competing as well.
Oh, so. Awesome.
Yeah, I don't have a goal like that.
Definitely not make the Olympics.
No. Just survive an Ironman before I turn 40 would be my only goal, but not. That's hefty. You fought all the who's, obviously. The Anderson Silva fight would have been amazing, but, you know. Your record speaks for itself. The opponents you had, what you've done for this sport.
Yeah.
For the people that don't know you, I hope that who are tuning into this and they Google your name, that they don't know you, they'll see everything that you've accomplished and they're like, holy shit, Jake Shields.
And even when I first got or found this sport and got like a huge passion and love for it, I've watched your fights and
awesome.
It was always really awesome watching you fight.
Hey, thank you guys.
Yeah, loved watching you. Loved watching Tim Kennedy. Like those.
Yeah, that's another old school guy I trained with. So.
Yeah, you two were always very entertaining.
Nice.
Yeah, appreciate you coming on. This is episode 66 of the Schmozone podcast. I said that weird. 66 of the Schmozone podcast. We are out.